We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. We are so glad to be able to spend the next half hour with you as we are discussing God's Word and what a wonderful gift it is to you and I. God wants us to know His Word, understand His Word, live His Word, proclaim His Word. It's a great privilege to partner with God and the dispersion of His Word throughout this community and around the globe. So my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. I spend Monday through Friday with you here on the radio during your drive to work or drive home or while you're at home cleaning or whatever it might be. And we are so thankful that we have been able to do this now for almost 5 years. Hopefully I've got a little better at it. Hopefully I'm not boring you to death either. So we're very thankful for the opportunity that we have, and that we know that you have a lot of choices that you could make. You could numb your mind with music thumping in the background, or you could be listening to the Word of God. And we want to thank you for choosing that choice. The body of Christ is better because of the investments you and I make in the growth and the maturity of our spiritual life. So thank you once again. I do want to say thank you today to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. They are very, very good at what they do. And not only do they have the knowledge, they got the tools that are necessary to do the job, to do it right the first time. And I just want to encourage you to give them a call if you need any block or concrete work done. The other night, it's a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to be inside this large hardware store, box store, in a different community, and it was laid out completely different than the same store that I frequent. And so, I mean, I am literally just walking up and down aisles, not knowing. I mean, they had descriptions, but not all of their descriptions were real good. And so I found myself in a part of the store, and there I was face to face with concrete working tools. And I'm not kidding you. This is late at night, and I started thanking God for the folks at Jits Concrete, who through the years who have been able to help us with our projects. They'd be able to help you with yours. They have the tools, and they know how to use them. And so I just want to encourage you, don't go to the school of hard knocks and have to learn the hard way all of the things that you don't know how to do. If you've got a block or concrete project coming up, give them a call, 321-536-5804, and let them come and get your project taken care of, and you will be thankful that you did that at the end. So today we are going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer again. I'm not going to read the whole thing. We've been reading the entire passage, and so if you want to read the whole thing, it's in Matthew chapter 6. But let's begin in verse number 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And right now we are looking at that portion of verse number 10, your kingdom come. The last couple of broadcasts we have been talking about what does it look like for people who rebel against the kingdom of God. It doesn't have a glorious outcome. That's the Word of God describes the outcome. It does not end well. I had to pick up my daughter at the airport. Is how come I ended up in that hardware store, and we were asking, you know, how the weekend had gone for her, and said, well, you know, I started to watch this one movie, but I didn't know if there was like a real tearjerker moment in it, and since I didn't know how it was, I made a decision that I wasn't going to go see that movie because I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. I didn't want it to be a bad outcome. The Bible describes to us that what the outcome of the Christian life is versus the outcome of a person who rebels against the king of the kingdom, and one of them ends gloriously and the other one doesn't end gloriously. So I encourage you to not rebel against the King of Kings, but instead to become as much like him as you possibly can. That does end well. So Mark chapter 12 is where we're going to begin. We're going to be talking about people who are in close proximity, that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God begins to come near. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever been close to somebody, but you didn't really have the interaction. I'm the kind of person anymore that I used to be content just if I saw somebody that I knew or knew of, I would just kind of stand off and say, hey, we were in the same place at the same time together. But several years ago, and this goes back quite some time, there was a very famous evangelist who happened to be eating at one of these tourist attraction meal atmospheres that we were in. It was medieval times is what it was. And I saw him and I recognized him, and it just blows my wife's mind. She said, we can't go any place without you seeing somebody that you know, or somebody sees you that knows you. And so I was like, oh, there's an international evangelist who has touched millions and millions of lives. And so I walked over and I introduced myself to him. I got out of my place in line, said, I'll be right back. And he was so funny. He said, yes, some friends of mine have come into town and they wanted to come and have the world's most expensive chicken dinner, and so that is why we are here. and you know, so today I tell you that story because I could have been content just being in the proximity, but instead I wanted to go and have a conversation. And today God doesn't just want us to be near the kingdom. He wants us to be actively involved in the kingdom. So in Mark chapter 12, verse number 28, it says, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Okay, so this scribe reaffirms everything that Jesus has just said. Now, verse number 34, don't miss verse number 34. He said, Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared question him. And you know, that that being close is fantastic. Actually having a discussion with Jesus is fantastic, but there was still something that was preventing him. Now, this happened to be a scribe. Scribes tended to get linked in with the Pharisees, which ended up having Jesus call them or saying to them, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" A whole bunch of woeful things going on in their life, and but yet Jesus looks at this one and says, "You are not far from the kingdom. You are not far from the kingdom of God." So let's take a look at what is going on for whenever we are in near proximity to the kingdom of God. It says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." The closer our proximity to the kingdom is, the more benefits of the king we experience. When the kingdom drew near, all of a sudden expectation arose. People began listening to John the Baptist. People started getting healed and delivered. The farther away we are, the more consequences we deal with, the less power we have, the more we are victimized. And so we want to be very near the kingdom of God, and we want to constantly be drawing near to God. In Luke chapter 10, verse number 9, I'm going to just turn and read them as fast as I can here. In Luke chapter 10, and it says in verse number 5, "But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.'" And so there was this blessing. There was this fellowship. There was this meeting of felt needs. And then there was a proclamation that the kingdom of God has come near to you. So whenever you start seeing God begin to heal people, supernaturally heal people, don't just take that for granted. Say, look, heaven is right here. God is doing something, and we need to be thankful. What would your reaction be if you had a loved one and all of a sudden they got supernaturally healed? I can tell you, I'm very thankful. It was almost a year ago where a family member received a prognosis that was quite sobering. And I don't mean that in an alcohol or drug type thing. I mean, that's not an issue in their life. It was just, you know, a doctor said to them something and it kind of stops you in your tracks. And then the person quotes their credentials, and their credentials would lead you to believe that that they would know what they were talking about. And then within 24 hours, even after declarations of faith and an intense worship that was going on, it was then that the report came back and said, "We can't find that. We can't find any condition like what we were looking for." Well, what do you do with that? Do you just say, "Oh well, you know, doctors make mistakes too," or do you look at it and say, "You know what? I serve a great big wonderful God. Serve a great big wonderful God." And so here at church, first weekend in September, We've been doing this series on revival, and I was preaching on Jesus came to Simon Peter's house. His mother-in-law was there, and she had a fever that was preventing her from serving, and Jesus solved the problem. He saw what was hindering her from serving the way that she would ordinarily serve, and so he came and and he delivered her, he healed her of a fever. Listen, it doesn't have to be the cancer word, like a friend of mine, a relative of mine, just had earlier, let's see, it was in the first part of September, and we can pray. A friend of mine that I grew up, whose wife received an even more serious declaration of cancer, saying it's stage four, it's inoperable, there's nothing that we can do other than some medication that may prolong the your life. So what do you do? You know, I told a person this one time when the doctor said there's nothing that we can do, and they were just overwhelmed, and I said, you know what, that means that when God heals the situation, none of the doctors are going to get any of the glory for it. They're just going to have to step back and say, this has got to be God. Now listen, I love doctors. I've got doctors that listen to this radio program, and I've been their patient, and I'm very thankful for them. I'm grateful for all of the skills that they have developed, and that God works through them. Extremely thankful. I've got a family member. If it wasn't for the medical breakthroughs in the medical community, that family member might not be here. But that doesn't stop us from believing for the miracle. We say, you know what? We're thankful for the intervention, but we're still believing for breakthrough. We're still believing for healing. So when the kingdom of God comes near, there's a proclamation of that, and sick people start getting made well. In Matthew chapter 3, you see in the very first part of the chapter, verse number 1, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's here, it is now, and it requires repentance. I do not understand why our modern society is so hesitant to repent. I don't know if it's a pride issue where we just, you know, are like Fonzie in the Happy Days, and who just couldn't admit that he was wrong every time he would go say it. And he never could say that he was wrong. Listen, I've repented to God. I've repented to my parents. I've repented to my wife. I've repented to my kids. I've repented to people in the community. I've repented to our church. If there was something that I did that needed repentance, look, I think the closer we get to the kingdom of heaven, the more we are going to want to live in a, if I can put it this way, in a spiritually sanitized environment. We want our life to be clean. We don't want any of the impurities. We don't want to be clinging to our sins. We want to be repenting and say, God, would you forgive me, and would you empower me so that I don't do that again? In John chapter 3, verse number 3, Jesus is ministering to a Pharisee. So, I mean, it's not all Pharisees were bad, not all scribes were bad. In John chapter 3, he's ministering to Nicodemus. And that's Luke chapter 3. That's why it didn't look right. John chapter 3, just in case you thought I was perfect. Verse number 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So whenever we draw near to the kingdom of God, it's going to compel us to repent of our sins, ask Jesus to be the Lord of our life, and to be, as Jesus describes it here, born again. So when we're talking about revival, I want you to understand, revival is not an act that is one-sided. Revival requires God to do his part, which he's always willing to do, and it requires us to do our part. Nicodemus was very confused. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." And there's a lot of things that Jesus says in this passage where he keeps using "most assuredly" or "verily, verily, I say unto you." Nicodemus was confused. He said, I don't know how to be born again. You know, he was an elderly guy at this point in time. And he said, I can't go through that birthing process all over again. And he said, not a physical, it's a spiritual rebirth. And so God wants to revive us. It requires us to be born again. You can't just add Jesus to the already pre-mixed recipe of your life. It's a complete new life. It's like the guy that you're hearing on the radio right now is a different individual living in a slightly older version of the body than what I used to be. You don't have to teach a baby to be self-centered or self-focused. You don't have to teach them to say "mine." You don't even have to teach them to say "no." They pick that up on their own, all by themselves. They get that selfish aspect very. But when our spirit is born again, we have the heart of a servant. We realize that this glorious privilege that has been bestowed upon us, that we're adopted into the household of faith. In Matthew chapter 4, and let's go down to verse number 17. "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" It requires us to live a righteous lifestyle. We talked about that a little bit later, or a little bit earlier when we were in Hebrews. The kingdom requires commitment. In Luke chapter 9, we just keep going back and forth here. Luke chapter 9. And verse number 57. "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' Jesus said to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" It requires a commitment. When you decide to go yes, as far as moving forward in the kingdom of God, you are going to find that there are going to be some things that you're going to have to let go of, some things that you are going to have to say, "You know what? This is not as high a priority as that." Someone said, if you show me your day planner, if you have one, and you show me your checkbook, I will show you your priorities. Show me how you spend your time and show me how you spend your money, and I will show you what your priorities are. And I think that we need to realize that we need to have more than just lip service when we say that we have an attitude for the kingdom of God to come near, that we're willing to say, "God, I'm committed to this process, committed to this." In Matthew chapter 12, verse number 28, we see that, I'm not going to turn there and read this, but that demons begin to be driven out whenever the kingdom of God is near. The more that the king shows up, the more that the enemies of the king leave because they already know that it is a it's a losing battle for them. They are going to be defeated. Okay. In Luke chapter 10, verse number 11, I want to point out to you that even though some may reject the kingdom of God, it doesn't change the reality of it. There are some people who clearly, things that the Bible clearly says, there are people who reject those things. Okay? There are people who reject that there is a hell, even though the Bible talks about hell, Jesus talks about hell. There are people who clearly don't believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father, even though Jesus is the one that said that. And it says there's no other name under heaven by which men shall be saved but by the name of Jesus, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. In spite of all of the evidence, they don't believe that. And I'll have you to know that my belief or lack of belief in a situation doesn't change the reality. It only sets me up for the consequences of it. So don't let somebody else rejecting the kingdom impact you. In Luke chapter 17, let's see if I can get these two in real quick. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here or see there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is within you when Jesus is in your heart. Wherever the king is, there's where his kingdom is going to be. And so, listen, inside me, there dwells no good thing. But when Jesus comes in and takes residence in my heart, all of a sudden that reality has changed. And now the King of all glory is living inside of me, and we can expect kingdom dynamics to begin to take place. Matthew chapter 6. This is actually the verse that God quickened into my spirit that launched us into this study. Matthew 6, 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So the kingdom of God must be sought. Here's the thing. When you and I are seeking God's kingdom, we're not going to have time to worry. A friend of mine posted this. God's called us to be warriors. He's not called us to be worriers. Warriors, not worriers. If you're filled with anxiety tonight, seek first the kingdom of God. He'll take care of all the rest. See you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."